You know, when I was a kid, I didn't like to try new things. My mom had to make me eat stuff that didn't look very good. But when I got older, I sort of liked to try new things. You need to put God to the test. You need to look in the scripture, and you need to notice every time where God says he's going to do something and put him to the test. Because most of the time God says he's going to do something, it's an if-then kind of deal. If we do this, then he will do this. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the promises of God are just as real and potent today as they've ever been. And we need to claim them, we need to learn them, we need to know them, and we need to prove that God is still God and he will do what he says. Now, the writer of Hebrews, as he says there in verse 5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake us, would have us be content. There in verse 5, and be content with such things as ye have. He would have us be courageous, there in verse 6, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. And if you go back and you read this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, if you read it in the Greek, you will find that there are five negatives in this verse. And so if you're going to read it like it's written in the Greek, you would read it like this. For he has said, I will never, 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 never leave thee. I will never, 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 never forsake thee. Now, you know, in English, two negatives cancel each other out. But in the Greek, every time an additional negative is used, it intensifies the thought that's in the sentence. And so when he uses never five different times in the two phrases of those verses, what God wants us to know is that he's never going to leave us and that he's never going to forsake us. You may not have noticed it, but sometimes we sing the song, How Firm a Foundation. And the last verse of that song says this, that soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And the songwriter caught the theme of this verse where God says, I will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. And that's why I've entitled my sermon tonight, Never, 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 Never. And since there's five nevers, I have 5 points. And since there's five nevers, I have 5 sub-points to every one of my 5 points. So if you came tonight, you can go home knowing that you got your money's worth because you're going to get 25 points from the preacher. I figure each one will take about... Well, I won't tell you that because you'll get worried. But we'll be done about our normal time. Here's the 5 things I want to do. I want to talk about what it means to be forsaken. I want to talk about what the promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us, what that encompasses. I want to talk about 5 different times that promise was made to people in the Bible and tie it together to different situations in our life. I want to talk about 5 confirmations that we can hang on to know that this promise is true. And then I want to talk about 5 conclusions that you can draw from the promise. So let's get started. What does it mean to be forsaken? First of all, it means utter loneliness. Being forsaken means that you are all by yourselves. Oftentimes we feel forsaken by man, but we know as Christians that God will never leave us or forsake us. Can you imagine what it would be like if God did? Can you imagine what how we would feel, how lonely we would feel if somehow the presence of God left us? So many times we take the Holy Spirit, that part of God that indwells in each one of us, we take him for granted. But I wonder what we would feel like if Christians, if the Holy Spirit got fed up one day and said, I'm moving out of this person. I'm moving out of this body. Praise the Lord, He'll never leave us or forsake us. We'll never know what it is to feel that loneliness apart from God. I think Jesus felt it on the cross when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And for those moments that He died in our place, those moments that He took the sin of all mankind upon Him, those moments that God forsook Him and turned His back on Him, Jesus knew what it was to be forsaken by God. And I don't want to know. I don't ever want to experience being forsaken by God, because forsaken means being utterly alone. It means being utterly helpless. The Bible says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Which means if I don't have the strength of Christ, I can't do anything. I don't want to try to do anything in my own power. I'll know I'll fail. I don't want to depend on my strength. I want to depend on the strength that God gives me. But if He forsakes me, I will not have that strength. Number three, to be forsaken means to be utterly friendless. They have no friends. We've all lost human friends, and we know how much that hurts. We've all had those relationships broken. But can you imagine if we lost the friendship of our Savior? We sang that song, what a friend we have in Jesus, and what a dear friend He is. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that loveth at all times. And if He forsook us, if he would ever leave us, we would lose His friendship. We would be utterly hopeless. If we are forsaken by man, we still have hope because we have God. But if God forsook us, if God left us, all our hope would be gone. And then number five, it would be utter agony to feel the loneliness and the helplessness and the friendlessness and the hopelessness. I mean, that's what I think Jesus felt on the cross of Calvary, as all His disciples forsook Him, as the Heavenly Father turned His back on Him, as He died alone, suspended between heaven and earth, as He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think that was the agony of the cross, to be forsaken by God. That's what it means to be forsaken. And so when God says, I will never, 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 never leave you. I will never, 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 never forsake you. Praise Him for that promise. Because we do not want the consequences of being forsaken by God. Now let me tell you what that promise encompasses. When He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now I had to study deep for this. I had to get deep in the Greek. I want you to know. I had to get deep in the Greek. And when He says, I'll never, 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 never leave you, I'll never, 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 never forsake you, you know what it means? Get ready. It means He'll never leave us. It means He'll never forsake us. You know, some of the deepest things are the simplest things. I think one of the deepest songs we sing is that little song, Jesus loves me, this I know. Where the Bible tells me so. And sometimes we try to get too complicated as we read the Bible. And sometimes we try to make it deeper than it is. What God is saying is, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So that means that every attribute that God has, we will have available for all time, because He'll never leave us or forsake us. He is an omnipotent God. He is a powerful God. And that power is available to us through the Holy Spirit. And because He'll never leave me or forsake me, I have the power of God resting on my life all the time, and so do you. You have the power of God. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And that power that was available to the disciples, as we read in this book, and that power that was available to the prophets in the Old Testament, it's the same power that's available to every single one of us. Because He'll never leave us or forsake us. His wisdom. He is an all-knowing God. An omniscient God. An all-knowing God. And that wisdom is available to us. In the book of James, it says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, who's not qualified by that verse? If any of you lack, we're all qualified. We all fall under. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. You know, some of the decisions I see people make, Christians making, I know they haven't prayed. Because they're making dumb mistakes. They're making stupid decisions. I know they haven't prayed because I know if they prayed and asked God for wisdom, they wouldn't make the decisions that they're making. And that wisdom is available to us all the time because He'll never leave us or forsake us. That love that He has for us. He's a loving God. God is love. You want to know the definition of love? You figure out what the definition of God is. God is love. And that love will, I mean, that love is available to us all the time. You ever feel so alone? You feel nobody loves you? I want to remind you tonight, God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die in your place. He loves you so much that He had Jesus leave heaven and live among men and humble Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our God loves us. And that love will never go away because He promises, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It also means that whatever God has, either here or in heaven, or in between, is available to us. You are a child of the King, and everything the King has belongs to you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And we are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and everything that God owns is available to us, His children. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions, and there's one for you if you know Jesus as your Savior. You listen to me. Don't you ever think that you are poor. Don't you ever think that you are part of a family that doesn't have much. You are part of the richest family in all of heaven, in all of existence, because you are part of the family of God. And because He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that means the riches that He owns are ours. You say, preacher, does that mean I'll have $1 million in the bank? No. That mean I'll have everything I want? No. God knows most of us couldn't handle $1 million in the bank. He knows that if He gave us everything we want, we couldn't handle it either. We'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. Oh, I shouldn't say that. He knows it wouldn't be good for us. And so He doesn't give us everything we want. He doesn't give us all $1 million. I tell you what would happen if He gave us all $1 million. We'd forget that we need Him. We forget that we need Him. We forget that it's not the money in the bank that makes any difference. The bank can go broke. We could lose all of our earthly wealth. I said it Wednesday night. I say it again. I don't depend on General Motors to feed me. I depend on my Heavenly Father. I don't depend on General Motors or a pension that I might get or a paycheck that I get to take care of me. I expect and depend upon my God to take care of me. And if I lost everything that I have, I hope I'm just as happy and content as I am tonight. I was preaching to myself last Sunday night. Remember when I called Hannah up here and told you that she discovered the secret? This is the best day of the rest of my life. I decided I got up on Monday morning. I said, Hannah, I'm going to follow your example. Today's going to be the best day of my life. And you know what? Monday was a real good day. And I got up on Tuesday and I decided, you know what? Today is going to be the best day of my life. I got to go to White Castle. It was one of the best days of my life. They gave me 3 free hamburgers because I'm such a frequent customer. But look, I forgot where I was. Oh, God's going to take care of us. And just like the writer of Hebrews says here, be content. Don't let your contentment depend on what you have or what you don't have. Be content because you have a God that will never leave you or forsake you. Now, let me move to the third point. Let me talk about 5 times that God made this promise. And I'm sure there's more than this, but I just picked out 5 to make my points tonight. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, the Bible says, Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That promise was made to Jacob as he was leaving home, going to visit his mother's people. His brother Esau wanted to kill him because he had not only bargained him out of his birthright, but because he'd gone in disguise and tricked his father out of his blessing. And so he lays down there on the way in the middle of nowhere. He makes a stone his pillow. He has a dream that he sees a ladder reaching to heaven with angels going up and down. And on top of the ladder stands the Lord. And he says, I will never leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And from that moment on, Jacob knew that God was never going to leave him. From that moment on, Jacob knew that he had a God that was going to stick with him regardless of what happens. And so when he went back to Ur of the Chaldees and he was cheated by his future father-in-law and had to work 14 years for his two wives, he knew that God would never leave him or forsake him. When he had to run away from his father-in-law as he left there and Laban chased him and caught up with him in the wilderness, Jacob knew he had a God that would never leave him or forsake him. When Esau came to meet him with those 300 men, Jacob thought he was coming to kill him. He knew that God would never leave him or forsake him. When his sons killed some of the men around there because they had taken his daughter and their sister, and he was worried that they were going to come and take revenge for the things that his sons did, he knew that God would never leave him or forsake him. When he was bereaved of his children, when he thought Joseph was killed by that animal, when Simon didn't come back from Egypt, Jacob knew that God was never going to leave him or forsake him. Now, I bring that example up tonight because we go through life and we all have trials and tribulations in our life. I mean, just living day to day. I'm not talking about the special things, the hard things that happen. I'm talking about the day-to-day things, the things that happen day after day that sometimes are so hard for us to handle, so hard for us to get through. I want to remind you tonight that we have a God that says in the drudgery of life, in the day-to-day things of life that are hard, we have a God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jacob always wasn't what he was supposed to be, but he knew that he had a promise from God. I will never, 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 never leave thee. I will never, 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 never forsake thee. And we have the same promise. The same promise. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Moses was talking to the people about going into the promised land. He wasn't going to lead them. Joshua was going to take over. But he was reminding them of the promise that God would not forsake them. He knew that there were giants in the land. He knew the walls were the walls of the city were strong. And as they faced those giants, as they faced this challenge, they wanted them to know that God was going to be with them. I use this example tonight to say there are going to be times in our lives where we will face giants. We will face a hard set of circumstances. We will be flat on our back and we will look up and we will wonder if we'll ever see the light of day tomorrow. Some of you have been there. Some of you are there right now. Some of you will be there in the future. Those times in our life where we get bad news from the doctor or when something happens to in our family that we can't control and we can't explain and we don't know what to do. And there are going to be times in all of our lives where it looks like the odds are against us and the giants are big and the cities are strong and it looks like there's no way we can make it through. I want to remind you tonight, we have a God that says, I will never, ever leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. You just keep hanging on to that God, moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. Hang on to him and hang on to the promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua was taken over from Moses. Can you imagine what it would have been like to follow in Moses' footsteps? Can you imagine what it would have been, the challenge that Joshua faced to take over for Moses? I mean, Moses, who had led the people out of Egypt, Moses, who had led them 40 years in the wilderness, Moses, who had been their leader, he was now gone. And Joshua has taken the reins of leadership, and those new responsibilities that had come into his life. And I thought about those couples in our church that are pregnant, expecting babies. It's going to be different. They're going to take on some new responsibilities. And I would remind them tonight that they have a God that says, I will never, 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 never leave you. I will never, 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 never forsake you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. David's charge to his son Solomon. He's about to die. Solomon is about to take over. And here's the example I thought about there. There are things that happen in our life where we get a new leader. The one that we have depended on as our leader is gone. I thought about the widows in our church and the transition that never ends as they've lost their leader. They lost the one that loved them and took care of them. And I would remind them tonight that we have a God that says, I will never, 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 never leave thee. I will never, 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 never forsake thee. And then finally, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Don't you ever think that God doesn't know what you need? Don't you ever think that He's oblivious, that He's up in heaven and He doesn't know what's going on in your life and He doesn't know what you need? Sometimes He lets us get down to the bottom of the barrel. Sometimes we even wonder where the next resource is coming from. And God reminds us, I know what you need. I will never, 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 never leave you. I will never, 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 never forsake you. Now, quickly, I got to make my last 10 points. The confirmation, the way that you can know that He'll keep this promise. First of all, because of our relationship with Him. He is our Father. He's our Father. And as our Father, He will take care of us. He'll take care of us. He has to. He's our Dad. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Those of you that are fathers, the right kind of fathers, know that you never quit being a father. Never. I don't care how old your kids get. You're always their dad. And if you're a young father, you'll discover this as you get older. You never, there's no, like the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, there's no discharge in this war. You're a father forever. Forever. And God is our Father forever. And as our Father, He will never leave us or forsake us. He can't leave us or forsake us because His honor. You remember in the wilderness, after the nation of Israel had disobeyed and they didn't trust God, and God told Moses, "Hey, just stand back, I'm going to kill them all, I'll start over with you." And Moses went to God on their behalf and said, "God, you can't do that." Then all those people in Egypt will hear that everybody's died, and they'll think it's because you couldn't take care of them, because you couldn't deliver on the promise. You don't want to do that, it'll destroy your honor. God will take care of us and never leave us or forsake us because He's God. And He will do nothing to destroy His honor. Your past, number three, your past proves that He will never leave you or forsake you. There are people sitting all over this room tonight, if I gave them an opportunity, could stand and testify how God has come through. That in the bleakest hours and moments of their life, they looked to heaven and they knew that God never left them or forsook them. They may have felt like He had at times, but when they got provincially to that end of the rope and they were hanging on to the last knot and they looked to heaven and depended on God, He was there. Been there all the time, just waiting for us to say, "I need you," waiting for us to trust Him. All the saints that went before you, all the saints that, whose stories are recorded in this Bible, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read the stories of the men and women that are there. Prove to you and as a confirmation that God will never leave us or forsake us. In fact, there is no reason that I know that any person can bring up and say, "Here's why you ought not to believe that promise." I don't know of one reason. I don't know of one argument. I don't know of one line of reasoning that they can put forth and say, "You ought not to believe that promise," in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. There is none. The writer of Romans, Paul, wrote, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then number five, and I'll be quick. I know we're out of time. What ought to be the results of this promise? Number one, we ought to be content. We ought to be content. He said there, "And be content with such things as you have." Be content. Paul says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to abound, like eating that old country buffet, Brother Harold, and I know how to do without, like having ketchup and water and making a tomato soup." And Paul says, I've had that, brother. Anyway, all those things in between. It's not bad if you put a lot of pepper in it, but all in between, Paul says, "I've learned to be content." And we've talked about it before. Being content is a learned thing. And because we have a God that never leaves us or forsakes us, we ought to be content. Number two, we ought to be courageous. Like it says there in verse 6, "I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me." Why am I worried about what somebody in this world can do to me? I have a God who's never going to leave me or forsake me, who is omnipotent, who has all power. Number three, we ought to just throw away our depression. Just throw it away. You know, some days you get up and you decide at the beginning of the day, "This is going to be the worst day of my life." And we're just depressed from morning to night. That's a terrible thing for a Christian to experience. I mean, you do it by choice. I do it by choice. We ought to not choose depression. We ought to just choose, just like Hannah. This is going to be the best day of my life. Today is going to be the best day of my life. And we ought to throw off depression. Number four, we ought to replace it with delight. "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." I can get up and go to work tomorrow. You know, I've talked to some of you. I may get an offer to retire before the year's over. And I sort of practice for retirement Friday and Saturday. The alarm clock went off and I turned it off. I just didn't hit the snooze button. I turned it off. I couldn't do that today. I would have been late for church. But There's no reason that we should be depressed. In fact, there is every reason that we ought to be delighted and be glad, because we have a God that never leaves us or forsakes us. And then number five, our faith ought to grow. Our faith ought to grow. Our dependence on God ought to grow. Our leaning on God ought to grow, because we know He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll always be there. We'll never, ever be alone, because He's promised He'll never, 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 never leave us, and He'll never, 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 never forsake us. Aren't you glad we got a God that not only makes those promises, but keeps them? Keeps them. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for that promise. Thank You for being that kind of God, for loving us so much that You'll never leave us or forsake us. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that tonight they'll understand that they're a sinner, and there's a penalty for that sin, but when Christ went to the cross, He paid the price. And tonight, if we'll come and receive Him, He'll save us. Give us one of those mansions in heaven, wipe away our sin, make us right with You. Boy, girl, man, woman, whoever it is, Father, I pray tonight they would make that decision. Most of us here tonight are Christians. And I pray, Father, that we'd claim this promise. We'd order our life based on that claim. And that we would just know, regardless of the circumstances of our life, regardless of the things that's going on, be it the day-to-day things that we face or the special things that we face, we'd always remember that we're never alone. You'd never forsake us. You're always there. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as You see fit. Use it to bring honor and glory to Your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.